Claro. Cool. So, hello everyone. Welcome to the sixth episode of Talking Observability podcast. And today we have Arvind with us. Arvind works for Elastic as a developer advocate. And Arvind, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to this podcast. And thanks, Jayesh, for inviting me. I am Arvind. I work as a developer advocate at Elastic, where you know there are different use cases Elastic builds onto, like search observability and security. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here, Jayesh.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for accepting our invite and being here, giving us some time. So Arvind, like the general thing we talk about in this podcast, what is observability in your perspective and what different use cases you see, how the whole notion around observability is developing these days. So on those lines, my first question will be, what is observability for you?
So to be really honest, I started my career when people were talking about monitoring. And then but that time, monitoring is an admin thing to me and as a developer. And I never cared what really means to be monitoring something. As a developer, I don't say that, you know, it's not useful, but I say, like, as a developer, I only ship code and then I am least bothered about all of this. And this is like roughly 10 years before. And then I really got to know about how useful is monitoring over the period of time when you start growing in your career and you understand the value of debugging, the value of finding things. So to me, like, you know, I always felt that, hey, if somebody could have told me that this could have occurred, and not, this is not about testing, and this is something something that is related to production and deploying the code and finding out things that are only possible to find out probably at scale or probably in a specific use case that you can't really probably narrate. And then, so those sort of the use cases, I always thought, like, you know, can be covered by monitoring. So I still feel it's kind of like monitoring something. But then I think over the last 4 years or so, and when I started, when I joined Elastic, and when I realized that, you know, there is a lot of value in kind of not just collecting things from the systems, but also, like, you know, trying to putting them together and trying to make sense out of it. So that is what different people put it together in different ways. Like, you know, some people say, like, there are pillars, logs say logs, metric traces. Some people say there are different sort of, you know, methods to get this data into in. So I personally prefer that, you know, any system that is, like, you know, that helps you to collect data and makes itself transparent in observing, and that way you could monitor the internal state, and that way you could find out what's happening, and that is a way that I would call you could observe, and that's what I think as observability. So the nature of that, and there are systems that we have built in the past and I've used in the past that it's not observable in nature. Now the trend is to both on the place where you ship this code, or, like, you know, the software, the general purpose software, they have to make themselves observable, and also the people who are building on top of the stacks, they have to make their consume that and, like, you know, make sure that they use this nature of the product. So this is like putting together, it's like a cultural thing, then more tools and, you know, techniques. So yeah, so that's what I feel as observability.
And yes, that's an interesting take on it, because you can't really have an application you built over the last 10 years and then say, now I want to make it observable, because it's not possible. You can collect some data, you can collect some telemetry and say, I can look into some aspect of it, but you can't really observe the application. You can't really, as one of the points you mentioned, you can't really figure out the state by just looking at input and output. Maybe just asking random questions. So yes, that makes sense. That's a part of culture. You have to start building for it from the day one, and that's where most of the companies nowadays are trying to do it, I guess. That's where the whole thing comes in. Yes. So as you said, like, you have been around this space for quite some time now, 4 or 5 years. So what are the different interesting use cases you have seen around observability that people are trying to use it in some way, or how they are consuming it as a end product?
So I am happy to tell that I would like to also like add some meta stuff to whatever we are talking, because I don't want people to think that, okay, whatever example that I'm saying, and then like, you know, that is the gold standard, and then or not even gold standard, that's a use case that people look at in silo. So I'll tell both of them. So basically, in my opinion, a lot many people, when it comes to observability, they start from the tracing part. They start from the, you know, hey, I put an agent in my system, and then it helps me to collect the log statements. It helps me to collect the information of my request response flows, my API percentiles, and a lot of these things, right? Think that, okay, I got some infrastructure in place, and then, you know, I'll be able to look into things, and then they will be able to monitor numbers if there is a sprint or a scrum running in there, and they have a product owner, and who will be responsible for, they have targets to specific user experience targets to find out all of this. So that is what in general is a standard, very, very open thing that a lot of decision makers, leaders are trying to do with this, like, you know, mid-level folks who are trying to get into. And then for the developer, the value that I see in the observability and the use cases I have noticed is like they're very interested in like method, or probably which specific scenario that when a user tried it out and my code didn't perform, or whenever there is an error, and then in a specific area, and what is the what are the different types of headers, or like the body that got injected to, or like what's happening with my code. So that is like code level observability that developers are very much interested in. And even with serious multi concurrency related code, or like, you know, scale, and how does that perform. So all of that are very interesting. And then like I also want to point out that, you know, when it comes to platforms and scaling, like, you know, containers, now everyone is deploying on containers, one form or other, like be it Kubernetes, OpenShift, or any managed service. So it becomes hard to find that needle in that entire, like, you know, haystack of different, and then add microservices to the mix. Then like, so all of this is like a greater use case if you look at from a developer and a team, engineering team perspective, and then a bit high level from the product owner. As I said in the before, I want to add some meta stuff like it. So this particular thing doesn't obsolete or like make, this doesn't let other technologies or other things that make it like, you know, that is not useful around. Like other technologies are not dying. So that's an interesting thing that I noted. So while I spoke about, observability and telling about how you can newly do this, there are people who are still using a different sort of old monitoring product, like say some sort of a specific product from HP, or there are very good monitoring products that folks used to use, like DBS and all. They are not like teaching that. They're not closing that out. They're just still using that. So technology, in my opinion, like doesn't get die, but that it just gets obsolete, and over a period of time they might not see use in that, and then decommission it, but it still be there. Yeah, so that's what I want to say.
Yes, and that's an interesting perspective to look at that thing, right? Because even when I talk to a few people are still using monitoring. It's not like monitoring has died because there's observability now. But again, you kind of have like a siloed thing that if I'm building right now, I might build in a perspective that I might need to observe the system at one point. Considering everything is, as you mentioned, everything is revolving around microservices, everything is revolving around container native environments, and by nature, those environments are complicated to monitor. Because there are too many things to monitor, and there are too many KPIs. You can't really track all the KPIs, or maybe like there are too many unknowns at some point. So at that time, it helps to build in that perspective and maybe make your system observable from day one. But if it's not, if you are you have been using your system from last 10 years, you know the like you know all the you like for you that there are no unknown unknowns at this point. Most of the things around those systems, you know them pretty well. There are known KPIs, there are known failures. So you basically just put them into some dashboard and you try to monitor them continuously, and still you will survive for maybe another 10 years. So yes, that thing completely makes sense. That it again depends on what's your use case, or how familiar you are with your system, or maybe how frequent you are changing your system, how frequently you are changing your system. So apart from that, like as you mentioned, that not everybody is looking at using observability at this point. It depends really on what you want to do with it. So have you seen anyone in any company, a network, or any company you know getting immense value out of it, or like what's the value prop in general out there, as according to your perspective?
So see, previously when people used to monitor, they used to become more of responsive in nature, and then not proactive in nature. I meant to say reactive in nature and not proactive. So say, for example, when there is some specific issue or something that has occurred, and then they realize that, okay, oh, this is something that we need to fix. And then like, you know, you push a fix and then things get better. Or mm-hmm. if there is a disk that is bad, and this is common for like, you know, even so many companies which are just born in newer internet, like, you know, 20 years back or something like that. So this is very common. And but then even they like after doing multiple iterations, they realize like, can we make it like automatic? That's what is now it's called with what do you call AI ops or different names. Mm-hmm. But then like, can we make it automatic? Can we kind of help them do that? So in a way, observability, I feel that kind of like it helps you to do that sort of thing. It helps you to make proactive. It brings that proactive nature in your teams. Mm-hmm. You could probably even set some sort of a targets. And I believe that the engineers are getting more closer towards the business oriented approach. Like I have seen at large companies, when you have like more than 20,000, 10,000 people, even 5,000-6,000 people, you start to like the engineering team would naturally like kind of ship code, and then like, you know, and then the respective teams would do the work, and then the deliverable, the software is delivered, a release is being done. And then sales and everyone would pick up, marketing would pick up, customers would pick up that. And then if there are issues, support would handle, customer success would handle. So all of this flow would happen. But what observability and SaaS in general, the cloud native stuff made, is like it brought that pipeline much closer. So now with this with this thing, it becomes very frequent. Like, you know, an engineer like me could log into my system and see how my code is performing. And my team can look at the code, and then I could literally find out how my code is performing, are there any bugs, and I could create epic sprints. Or like, if I'm really talking about like, you know, deciding my future, if there is a team that is specifically looking at solving problems, then I tell them like, you know, your job is to fix that 6.0 and release 6.0.1, and this is the timeline that we are thinking. So all this need multiple systems, multiple connections, but then, you know, the immense value of reducing all of this and making the user, making the developer aware of all of this, and keeping the developer still close to the market and getting awareness and all. So all of this really helps, actually.
Yes, definitely. Like in decision-making process itself, if you have data, you are basically making informed decisions. But in case you don't know anything about your system, you are making decisions based on your assumptions. And that's not something which is helpful for business impact. So yes, like making informed decision is one of the good things which happens due to having data around your system, and maybe a nice way to put it together. So talking about a nice way to put it together, there's a notion called single pane of observability, right? So how do you look at it? What's your thought around that particular thing that, okay, you can observe your complete system just using single dashboard, or maybe you can look into your system or relevant information with just a single pane available out there. So what's your take on that complete thing?
So single pane system, I think I have different thoughts about it. There are different folks approaching it differently. So if I have to say that, in a way, it could have worked because like, you know, end of the day, if you think from a customer point of view, if you think from a user point of view, they don't want to run multiple different data stores or machines, right? So what they want to do is like, they kind of like want a experience. So this is, to me, this is like more of like a going more specialized or going more generalized and like, you know, and still choose one specialization. So there are different aspects or different ways that we could dissect this particular single pane of observability to it. I could simply say that, you know, it really helps. And because everything is one place and then you don't need to worry about it. We manage that, blah, 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 and that everyone says. But then like, you know, there is really an argument that I would really give value to single pane of observability is like, you could do it at UI level, you could do it at the backend and data store data collection level, at an API level, I mean, where like, you know, people send the data. But then if you have multiple, what should I say, the right word is like experiences which are broken, right? If your experiences are broken, and for the user, when observability itself is like more of correlating and connecting the dots to figure out things, then what eventually happens is, you know, the broken experiences will cause delay, and your the mean time to react to any specific incident would increase. Then you are investing a lot of time, effort, money, but still you are not efficient. Still, I don't say perfect, I don't say useful, but then you are still not efficient. So that is where to bring in more efficient means. It's just like you have a productivity app, and then you are using it wrongly. So and then like that's my take on general and single pane of observability.
So in your way, like throwing all the information at user on one single thing and calling it single pane doesn't make sense. But throwing relevant information as per the issue makes more sense. Means if I am facing this particular issue, maybe I get an alert saying my latency spike for this particular service. So if I click on there and if I get to a dashboard which can just show me all the relevant information related to that particular issue, that for me is a single pane and it still helps. But at that point, if I get a dashboard which is showing me metrics around all the services and maybe logs for all the services, that's the information is there, but I still have to go and find it, which is a pain.
Yeah, definitely. So correlation always helps, you know. That's where the key thing lies in general. Like, you know, when you collaborate, when you bring in diverse viewpoints on anything, it helps you to make better judgment, and it helps you to make better use of data. And this happens in real world as well. If as much as your team is diverse, as much as your team works together building something, then the output is very different. When you compare it with, like, you know, a specific you making decision, you might really lose something that is very, very big, and then, you know, you might do that. So in a way, that it really helps. That is the main thing that we need to look at from the observability point of view.
As you're talking about the observability thing coming together, there's another interesting discussion which comes up every time is open source observability. And I look into two different parts. There's open source data collection happening, and data collection was one of the major issue from a long time, right? So most of the companies tried to solve data collection using different agents, using different tooling they built internally, and that's kind of that kind of have been the situation for quite some time. But then open tracing came in, then open census happened, and then there's now open telemetry, which kind of democratizes the data collection aspect. So as a tool or as a platform which are being built on top of open telemetry, so data collection problem is solved. Metrics, logs, traces, everything is coming in. Maybe correlation is happening across the lines, maybe in collector itself. So what value a platform can provide on top of this demo, on top of this data, which is collecting, which is pretty easy at this stage.
See, I think the important thing that any of these systems, if I understand your question again correctly, so the important thing that any of these system when you collect the data is not just data collection is a problem. I agree to it. That is something that. Okay. That is important, and then collecting data and sending it across, and that's an interesting thing. Especially I like OpenTelemetry, the approach and the way that they are trying to build the project and all. I really appreciate it. But then like, you know, the important thing here is correlating the data that is coming in and trying to give an experience. So it's not just like you're just throwing all of the data, right? And the end when the user it receives it, you need to make it actionable. So to be really honest, like I have thought over a period of time we would definitely head to that place where we would feel that, you know, hey, I don't want to see all these dashboards, I don't want to see all of these things. I just want to see if there is an issue, tell me, and I would loop my team and they will take their, they will probably talk. See, we are looking into a We are already in a very hybrid or like in a working environment. We are already working remote and very isolated. And these the systems which are shipping out data to find value in it, it needs to be more collaborative in nature. It just need to become like a Google Doc or a Slack channel, wherein people can collaborate, talk over the issue, slice and dice the data. Like say, if you and me are in a meeting, and then we are collecting data, we have a system where there is a lot of data, and imagine that I'll try to show something and say, hey, this is how my point is true, and then this is why this issue is probably occurring. And then other person would say, like, you know, okay, it also could be this because this is aiding that. And then that's why the hardware issue is contributing to a software failure. So something of that sort can be also attributed. So all of this could happen when there is collaboration built in, when there is correlation built in into the platform that everyone is building on top of the data that is being collected. Yes, I do agree. Data collection, transferring, handling the scale, managing these endpoints at the end again. The data that is being collected, so all of these are problems that needs to be definitely fixed. And then like on the other side, sanitizing this, there are some enterprises who specifically need user controls on each attribute levels, they don't want some specific teams to do this thing and look at the data, and they want only after approvals they want to do. So all of these are systems that add really value over the data that is collected.
Yep. So completely, like, yes. So I agree that platforms are relevant. Just the value proposition will mostly shift towards what you can offer on top of data than mostly, like, we can collect best quality data out there because everybody can collect that now. So yes, and as we are talking about platform and how the platform can come together, so what are some, maybe what will be top three use cases you see becoming future of this whole thing, that this will be the niche things we can get out of the any observability platform, and that will be. And this question basically because then after 3 years, if that doesn't happen, I can come back to you and sue you for this.
So, okay, that's really a great question. And thanks for saying that you will sue me. Jesh, I really feel that, all of these things are very tentative, and you whatever we are seeing as a problem today might not be a problem tomorrow. And someday, some years back, many people were thinking about solving it from a different side, solving these problems from a different side. And now there is a completely opposite way to kind of like look at things, even though the other things are still building and adding value and all, like say in specific data source or technique. So what I see is like end of the day, I want to bring this example of like, you know, doing things the Apple way, like, you know, wherein the company is very focused on building specialized experiences, and the company is very focused on, as you know, and we regularly spoke about it. It's like, you know, the experience is closed. Like, you know, you whatever you do it in different form factors, it's still the same. It's still the same service, still the same experience that you get. So what happens is like all of this should become easier for the folks who are consuming. Say, for example, I'm an SRE. And then I'm on my call, and then I kind of like I'm probably have a team of SREs, and I'm on call someday, and then there are a bunch of people who are working, and then like there are there's a large system that I'm maintaining, and then like there are issues happening. I should be able to get to know, like, you know, super easily, quickly, via, like, you know, as soon as I get an SMS like about an order, right? Similar way. That is one thing that, like, you know, the handling of this alerts or the noise versus signal thing, that is one way that I would look at. And then on top of it, like, you know, the enterprise level things, like, you know, if someone wants the data to be accessible, someone wants the data to be like, you know, they want to specifically run a query or specifically do things in correlation with other things, it needs to be collaborative, it needs to have some sort of approval and workflows built in. The enterprises need to be able to raise issues. Like, there are many things here as well, like tools like Jira, ServiceNow. All of them are, I think, playing a part here as well. So such sort of experience needs also to be built up in a very enterprise system. So that is one other thing. And overall, like I said in the beginning, it's like the experience needs to be closed, and it needs to be very smooth, and people should not feel that, you know, oh, I am maintaining a large infrastructure, and I'm still struggling hard to maintain my monitoring system or maintain my observability system. So it should not be. And end of the day, like, I'll add also one more bonus point in addition to these three, is like the savings on these platforms should be comparable. It's not like I have to to maintain an elephant, I need to bring in a mammoth, and, like, you know, I need to fund that. So that is all. That should also be a key thing. And a lot many people are now, I think, are breaking the compute and storage, and then making it easy for everyone. So those are the things that I would feel.
Sure. Yes. Like those are the interesting things to look at, right? And surely, like, I hope these things will become part of the whole ecosystem, and the ecosystem will develop in that way, and that will be helpful for everyone. So, and again, if this becomes true, you will become a thought leader in 3 years. So that's a bonus point for you.
yeah. So it's like, in my opinion, I just want to tell that, you know, going through your issues should become like scrawling through some social media feed. And then you probably assign to people, you probably feel like, okay, it's great that this has happened, and then, like, we have fixed it, and, like, it should become as easier as it should be, and it should be simple as well. Yeah,
every developer's dream. But yes, definitely.
Yes.
So we will end up it on a little bit of a personal question here. So as the whole lockdown thing is still kind of going on, it's open, but you can't really go out now, considering the safety factor. But what are the things you have been doing during lockdown, and maybe trying out new things, or how do you spend time? Or maybe for viewers, what will be your advice to try out this thing, or any new things you want them to try?
Like I gave long answers to everything. I think this also would be a very long answer. And I definitely want to tell that, you know, after lockdowns, life has become really long, and I think days are passing very quick. But then I kind of like miss meeting people like you as well, and when we regularly used to meet, and then and several other friends, and that is the interaction that I miss. But then what I've been doing is to like have informal chats with several folks in particularly, like, you know, trying to arrange them and just chill out to make things better. Leave aside specific time gaps. If I feel bored, I would not work, and it could be any part of the day. And I tell my manager that, you know, this can't be, like, you know, done. And then I think people are accommodative as well, and then which I'm really glad for. And then on top of it, like, you know, sometimes you feel like languishing and really not like, you know, doing anything. And then that I think mentally you need some space. As well, like, you know, stay hydrated, go out on some sort of an exercise, or, like, you know, do some sort of yoga to keep your good things. I see over lockdown many people of different age groups that they have faced is, like, they got into this vitamin D deficiency. So see that you get enough sun, which usually probably happens, like, you know, 40% of the time we might be out, but then even now I think, like, we're only there 20%. So that's something to look out for everyone.
That's a good advice. I have a window here, so that solves my problem, I guess.
I'm not sure, like, that's 20% sun, but usually you might go out, like, you know, to get something, but then now it's probably not gonna happen.
Cool. So that was an interesting conversation, Arvind. And thanks for joining in. Thanks for the listeners and viewers who joined in and listened to this. So I hope you all like it, and we'll see you all in the next one.
Thank you, Jayesh.